Sustaining Alive with Rita Steele on 95 BFM.
Rita Steele.
Hello, how are you?
What's good. Up, dog? What's up with it?
Oh, I just said that.
What?
It's a Monday.
Did you just like yawn in some kind of epic high pitch that I've never heard before?
No, I just wasn't prepared. How are you, Christian? And I don't know why. That usually follows.
Is that because you can't, like, you're just in this mode, you're thinking about the planet in general when you're doing this segment, and you're like, well, I'm good, but everything that we're about to talk about is totally cooked. Or...
Yeah. And I always feel so disingenuous, and you're like, how are you? And it's like, good. The planet's fucked, but I'm good.
That's probably the right answer, so.
But it is, unfortunately, probably the only answer.
What's on the agenda? You could probably just round it to us being fucked as well, though, eh?
Yeah, totally. What's on the agenda?
Why not?
Just how fucked we are. We're going to talk about the climate change report that came out, sort of, I think it was about 10 days ago now.
Okay. I had no idea that there was one. Is that okay?
From the New Zealand government or some sort of global body?
Yeah, it was our government. So, actually, it was a climate change commission, which is an independent panel of experts that have kind of been helping guide the government's transition to a low emissions economy,
And
how we're going to meet our kind of targets that the government set.
Okay, how are we going to? What are the targets, and how are we going to meet them?
They're not obviously.
We've signed up to become carbon neutral by 2050, which sounds really good, but arguably, like, there's a lot of people out there that think that, that it's actually not, aggressive enough.
That doesn't actually mean no carbon, does it? It means we can still use carbon, but there'll be offset points and shit like that?
Yeah, right. Totally. And it's on a baseline, and it was kind of quite confusing because we'd signed up to be 30% less than 2015, I think it was.
Right.
And then by 2030, and then we hadn't really met that. And so it's kind of like carbon neutral based on, I think from memory, 1990 or something. So it's not really carbon neutral. Like, it's just from a baseline that is
set.
Right. And then we can work from there. And it was kind of like we were probably already on the wrong path in 1990. So, it's kind of a little bit of a strange target. But I guess the underpinning it all is that there's still agreement that we need to stay below 1.5 degrees. And that's kind of the general measure, or like the general consensus with scientists, that anything over that in humanity is not looking too pretty. So, I think as much as, it's really easy to say the planet is pretty doomed, I think that there is something to be said for all still agreeing to that 1.5, because the moment that we go, actually, nah, it's not possible, let's aim for 2, what we're basically saying is, there's a big chunk of the planet that we're okay with not being habitable anymore.
Realistically, Rita, is there anything that we can do in New Zealand that will have an impact on the rest of the world? Because we're so small.
Yeah, so I hear this a lot and feel it a lot in comments and at parties. Yeah, I'm super fun at parties.
Rita's
here. People go, what about China and what about India? And I think what's really important for us to think about is that we are one of the top emitting countries of the world per capita. And it's really easy for us to say,
by the way.
What was that?
Shame out.
It's all those cows.
Don't blame it on
the
cows.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Don't blame it on those
delicious cows. Especially because we've got quite a mild climate. Like, I can understand why some of the countries, like, Dubai, Oman, where they've got some really ridiculously high temperatures, and they might need a lot of aircon, like, to make their country habitable and comfortable, they actually have to use a lot of, technology, I guess, to keep them comfortable and so that they can live there. But in New Zealand, we've actually got a pretty mild climate, so there's a lot of things. I mean, I say that, I don't know what the temperature is now. I've got my heat pump running, so
right.
It's kind of like, it's really easy to be like, oh, we should all just put on jumpers. And before I had kids, I absolutely did.
Just
we
on the New Zealand
have,
thing, We're a relatively affluent country as well, so we can kind of afford to do a little bit better with the environment. You know what I mean? When you talk about places like India and stuff like that, they've got so many fucking people that are just like struggling the hell out of it. And it's one of those things where it's kind of expensive to be balls deep vegan and all that. You know, you can't necessarily do that in a lot of places. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, actually, they do pretty. The Indians actually do pretty well on the vegan front. Just to give some context, though, so we are one of the highest emitting countries in the world. And to give some kind of context on where we sit, compared to China, they use about 20% less than us per capita, and India uses almost 90% less than us per capita.
Wow.
So it's really easy to point to them and say, look at the amount of carbon they're using or greenhouse gases they're emitting. But actually, those are just because of the population size and the size of their countries. In terms of what we can do individually, we can do things and we can lead the way and say, actually, you can have an affluent country that has made a decision to be a low emissions country too. Like, I think New Zealand can lead the way with that. We've already got our energy.
We've got our clean green brand already set up.
And also, like, our electricity is miles ahead of other countries when it comes to renewable generation. And
we're mostly dam-based, aren't we? That's our vibe.
Yeah, a lot of hydro. We have enough wind, we have enough solar. That combined, these things can actually, provide quite a good baseline electricity generation. Electricity is about 50%. Please don't quote me on that. I actually just pulled that number out of my head. I'm not 100% sure.
I actually just got that tattooed on my chest. So
Normally I check all my references. That one just popped into my head, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's 50%. So don't quote. But it is quite high, our electricity generation, which is why we're already a long way ahead of people, other countries, in terms of being able to make this shift. And for some reason, in the last little while, coal's been slowly sneaking back into our electricity generation.
Cheap.
I'm not sure why.
It's such a classic.
I know that. What was that?
What do we need to do? There must be a couple of things which have come out in this report that we need to go, all right, that's us. We need to not drive my car, not do this, not do that, not eat red meat.
Transportation is of the carbon side of things, between 30% and 40% of our emissions. So it's a really easy area for us to fix, which is why the government came out and said that all new vehicles by 2035 need to be EVs. So that has caused, I have never seen, I keep thinking that this must be what it was like to live in the era when they bought in cars, and having people going, oh, but what's my horse going to do? I just am hearing so much whinging, and it's like, guys, the EV battery life argument
we should be riding cows around, just take the cows for a walk kind of thing, and then we eat them when we're done.
It's ridiculous that we're comparing a petrol vehicle that has had 100 years of technology behind it with EVs, which are pretty new, and battery
oh my god yeah I just had a chat with my dad today, and it got into electric cars, and he's a petrol head, and can I just say, he's not all for electric cars at all.
I literally stand there and think, I'm having an argument with someone in the 1900s about why, these cars are going to destroy our way of life. We need to keep our horses and carts. It's change is coming, man. You can either...
But they were probably right on.
it has sort of destroyed the planet. And I am not actually a massive advocate for us replacing our carbon fleets with EVs, because...
Where's the electricity power come from? It's all power,
There's so many issues with the resources and where they're coming from. Yeah. What we actually should be doing is, instead of arguing about EVs being a good or a bad decision, is actually going, okay, cool, how are we going to do this in a sustainable manner? Do we all need one car? Or do we take the concept of an Uber and and make it better, and so that you can actually just call a car when you need to go somewhere.
What are we using these cars for? That's the thing. We should be living where, like, locally, you know, like in a sort of
town. Do we give incentives for people that can work from home? Do we, or companies that can work, you know, send their workers to work from home? Do we have it so that there's a subsidy for people that have one car and need a second car to pick up, you know, kids once a week? Or I don't know. Like, I feel like we're just not. We're wallowing in the issue of change as opposed to innovate our way out of a major problem here.
Actually, somebody's just texted in saying, I use Ecotricity as a power supplier. All the power they supply is green sourced, and 50% of their profits go back into the community. New Zealand owned, and from what I can see, cheaper than most other suppliers.
Wow, well, that's awesome. That's so awesome. Like, I think that there's so much. And also, people are saying, okay, how are we going to charge them? And it's sort of like, you know, there's solar car parks that they are being made overseas. And, you know, there's so many options for us to be looking at. And that micro generation of power is totally where it's at. Like, at the moment, so much of our power comes from the South Island, and we need to boost it halfway up to get it up to us in Auckland. It's sort of like, if we can be all, like, on all new builds, put a solar panel on and help create these, you know, generation.
I thought, it's so weird that you're saying this, because I feel like 10 years ago that this was all happening, and it just kind of hasn't, like, holistically happened. It's kind of more been like a personal choice of the builder or something, and I guess it should be a bit more forced from the government, maybe. But
I think when it comes to builds and stuff, I think two things got in the way. One, ideology. So, you know, you have a government that comes in, they see this, and then the next government, which was probably the key government, went, no, like, this is not, you know, they're very likely lobbied by, you know, power companies and whatnot, so they go, well, this is a threat, and back them.
Right.
There's also the issue with affordability in a house built. So obviously, building a house without a solar panel is cheaper than building a house with one. So, you know, there's a couple of issues there, but that doesn't mean that we should let them hold us back. And we have been held back, like you said. Like, this was having solar panels on every house and a rain tank on every house was a conversation 15 years ago.
Yeah, right. Totally.
It's crazy. It just feels like we went, let's kick the can down the road, you know? Mm. And, like, how far do we kick that can down the road before someone has to
recycle that fucking can? You know?
Yeah, exactly.
So we just had a powerful text in here. I don't know if you've been following this whole UFO UAP situation, but somebody's saying, don't worry, anti-gravity and free energy goodies are just around the corner. Love from the aliens. Thank you, text in.
Yeah, it's interesting because one of the things this report came out with, which I found, you know, like, no fucking shit, Sherlock, was from their first draft, they were like, okay, this is what we need to do to be on track to get to where we want to go. Mm. And they've revised that, saying, look, we haven't had the technological leaps that we thought we would have.
Out of it.
So we're behind it here and there. And, we've actually converted more land to pasture than we were expecting. So
because when they do these foresight sort of guesses, they do actually factor in technology leaps, don't they? I know that US government has actually patented some random random brand new tech that nobody knows how it works or anything, but they've run the patents through.
You're talking about that Navy article?
Yeah,
they're like,
really
interesting. I've got this new science and it's going to be the next internet.
I didn't read it like that.
Yeah,
but
that's how I read it in my brain. I'm looking forward to it. The new internet is going to be powerful.
The internet too. I'm ready for internet too. It's been fucking years in the making, actually. What's that?
It feels very Silicon Valley, the theory.
Well, no, it's actually the Navy. The Navy pushed the patent. The patent company came back and said, these are all pretty crazy. We're not going to do it. And the Navy was like, you're going to fucking do it because we're the Navy. And then they were like, okay, Navy.
Wow.
Now I'm doing places. Thanks, man.
So, Rita, what can we take away from this?
Look, I think like the one thing that I think we really need to, and I rabbit on about this because we can write letters and we can, We can change our own behaviour as much as possible, but some of the stuff, I've always said, the stuff is going to have to come from top down, because people aren't going to voluntarily use less power unless it's more expensive, right? So, and they're not going to voluntarily cut the cow numbers on their property, meaning that they lose out, you know, on profit, unless it's regulated. So I think that regulation is coming, and I think that people don't like it. They don't like being told what to do, and I understand that. But it is here we've got the choice to do it as a society, or Mother Nature will do it for us, and that is going to look a lot nastier. I think we just have to look at things like, you know, when they're putting in bike lanes in your community, when they're doing, a bike lane on the Harbour Bridge, and okay, that might not be the best solution, but I think we have to be going.
Next time we make a bridge, make sure you can fucking walk over it. What about that?
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Who makes a bridge you can't walk over in the first place? That is not a good bridge. Like,
instead of throwing the baby out with the bathwater, instead of saying, no, we don't like this idea, let's not do anything, how about going, actually, yes, we need to make a future that's more sustainable. Let's do it with our voices, our community voices in mind, and our community ideas in mind, and push ideas upwards.
Because
they're
going
to come down. And sometimes they're not going to make sense coming top down.
We get texts in as you're speaking, pretty much speaking to the points that you're speaking to. Somebody saying, just got solar quoted for a new home building, $50K to be in abundance of power, but the government is not interested in subsidizing for doing this. This is where we're at. Another one here saying, I have a drainage company, big pieces of machine and workers in a four-wheel drive ute. What's the solution? Like, what should that person do?
There's a whole lot of EV units and heavy vehicles coming. Ford have just announced the F-150, which looks pretty fancy, and it also charges tradies tools, which is pretty helpful. I would say 2 years away, it looks like, that we will have those that come onto the market, like in any sense that anyone can afford, because I think at the moment, like I saw Ford have just released them and there's 100,000 already pre-sold, so they won't get down to New Zealand for another couple of years. I think that it's coming for those guys, it's great because they can see it coming and they can plan for it and they can go, right, okay.
Charge it up to the job, eh? It's fucking sweet.
Yeah, you know, our vehicles 5 years' time and 7 years' time need to be, you know, EVs, and let's look at what's coming out and keep an eye on what's coming out. But I think, well and truly in 5 years' time, there will be lots of solutions for those heavy vehicles. And some of those really big, the big machine graders and the big, there will always be a place for oil. And in fact, it's the reason why we should be saving it, because sometimes we're going to need it. Like, sometimes there's not going to be solutions.
That are
power efficient enough so we need to be smart about the oil that we do have remaining.
Save it for burnouts and shit, eh? Fuck yeah, man.
Yeah, totally. I live in a place where they have burnouts on the corner all the time. And
yeah,
I'm
you're
like,
West.
How do these people... I don't even care. I'm like, whatever
you do. Grab on the back of the wing and back of the skyline and just slide around?
I'm like, that's my biggest wins in life, is that some people are doing burnouts at 4 in the morning, whatever. But I also go like, isn't that really expensive? Anyway.
Not if that's your weekend. That's your weekend.
Your time as well.
Oh, okay, Dad. Cheers, man. Just go muck around on the tramp one more time. Hey, Rita, it's always a pleasure to chat, and it's always totally heavy, but we love it.
Yeah, no worries. So, hopefully the rest of your week goes a little bit more promising.
Right on. And we'll catch you next week.
See you guys.
Bye.
That was Sustaining Alive on 95 BFM.